Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of August 25th through August 31st. Happy birthday to my mom. Today's her birthday. Anyway, this is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as tarot products and events. So when we look back, first of all, it is my mom's birthday, August 25th. We've had a very eventful August. We had, you know, the end of the Merc retro shadow period. We had Lionsgate. And now we're moving from Leo into Virgo energy. My mom is a Virgo. She is the Nine of Cups in the deck. And it's been a really powerful month because there's been a lot of shifts and a lot of up-leveling back to back to back. So when we go back to the cards for August, we have Strength reminding us to work with that confident Leo energy of August in order to calmly allow what we're seeking to come to us. And we also have a visit from the Chariot, who was with us all through July. That was one of our cards of, it was the card of the month for July because it's ruled by Cancer. And Chariot is also a victorious card. And that, you know, the Chariot brings in something that we're seeking, but it can be a little bit more aggressive in nature than that kind of calm, confident inner strength of the Strength card. So the Chariot, when combined with Strength, appears to kind of work as a team to ask us to balance that desire to chase all of the Chariot with the ability to kind of calmly magnetize towards us via Strength. So I really like these two together. Like I said, we've had a lot of action this August, and coming up at the end of this week on the 30th, we have a really powerful new moon in Virgo. So let's take a look at the card of the week. The Star card. Okay. I really like the Star. I'm also really excited because if you follow numerology of the cards, the Star is 17, which is my numerological card for the year of 2020, and I'm really excited to step into this energy. So in the traditional Smith Rider Waite deck, the Star is a naked woman kind of kneeling at the side of this lake, and she has a jug of water in her left hand, also known as her receiving hand, and one in her right, or her like masculine giving hand. And she also has her body positioned in an interesting way. She has one foot on the earth and one in the water, and kind of the earth representing that standing in your consciousness and, kind of playing into that side, and the other foot in the water, which is kind of standing in your intuition. And she's also pouring the water both into the earth, that, you know, material world, that groundedness, that conscious energy, and she's pouring the other jug of water into the lake, representing feeding that intuition. And, you know, doing whatever that you need to grow, expire, and expand both your conscious and your intuition. And the OG card also has this big, large star in the middle. I take this as like representing self. And it has seven stars around it that in a lot of tarot books and studies are said to represent the seven chakras. And it's kind of like those seven chakras, when aligned, light up that big star above your whole self to make it more complete and more integrated. So astrologically, the Star is ruled by Aquarius and therefore connected to both the planet Uranus and Saturn. And like Aquarius, who is also a water barrier, a lot of people think Aquarius is a water sign because of this, but it's actually ruled by air. The Star card also embodies both, with that intuition of water and the forward motion of air. Because even though, you know, we said it's grounded in the earth energy, but it has that kind of forward thinking motion that like things are evolving, moving with the Star. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this is Zenobia Simmons for exactly that reason. She's a celebrity psychic. She's been on Bravo. She's had a show, I believe it was on Lifetime. And she is just one badass bitch overall. She is very forward-thinking. She's one of my favorite healers and psychics out there. If you haven't already, you can check out Zenobia on the podcast episode 39 of Badass Bitches Tarot. And I chose Zenobia for this card because the Star is one of the most psychic and intuitive cards in the deck. And it also, it follows the Tower in the Major Arcana. So it's a reminder to be patient, because even in periods of downfall and loss, a la the Tower, the Star is waiting on the other side of that. Knowing that once we have learned these lessons, we can now fully receive that magic and spiritual connection that the Star brings in. And for this reason, I always say it represents patience and divine timing. So when you see it in a reading and you don't quite feel that you're in that yummy, magical star energy yet, it's like patience. It's coming at the right timing for you. And even if you're in the midst of struggle, stress, strain, trust the universe because it's going to come in at the right time when you're really open to receiving it. It's also a card of generosity because often in the star energy, once you kind of are open to receiving and that's coming in, that abundance, abundance is coming into your life, you want to be able to give it back to the collective, whether that's through healing, teaching, philanthropy, financially. It's the star inspires you to grow that light after you've received it through your journey. And I feel like this week's guest is definitely going to bring some of that intuitive star energy to the podcast today. Sasha of Starbound Earthseed serves as a guide in the evolution of consciousness and helps her clients move through the awakening process through astrology, oracle, and human design readings. I am so excited to talk with Sasha today. Hey, Sasha, how are you?
Hey, Bex, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to speak with you, to have you on the podcast today. So I'm a huge fan of all of your work, especially your astrology. I discovered you through your Moon Crew Circle that you host with Kara Kovacs, and just like instantly became a fan and was, I love the way that you express astrology because it can be so scientific and so complicated, and you really put, you know, your own spin on it, and also a way that's very digestible and very relatable. And that's really like one of my favorite parts of the Moon Crew Circles is your work. So how did you kind of even get involved in healing, and how did you start learning astrology specifically? Because it is such a very detailed science to it.
Yeah, it is. And like, first of all, thank you so much. That's so sweet of you to say. I really appreciate that. And how did I get into healing work and astrology? Well, I think like most people who get into healing work and spirituality, at some point it does become sort of a, like, we're here for the personal growth and we're here for the, you know, healing that we want to, you know, heal ourselves with, right? But there's also that bit of curiosity of like, oh, what is all this esoteric and occult stuff, right? And that's really where I came at it from in the beginning, because I actually discovered all the nuances of astrology way back in my teens. I was about 15 years old, and this new girl came to my school. And it's a small school, so when there's like a new person, like, you know. And we became friends because we lived in like the same neighborhood, and she was Wiccan. And I was like, that is cool. And basically, she started introducing me to Wicca, and she at one point said like, oh yeah, your element out of like the five elements is earth. Like, you're so earthy. I'm like, no, I'm not. I really resonate with air, thanks, but no. And lo and behold, like, at some point, I think we were like flipping through some books at Barnes and Noble on like witchcraft and Wicca, I like saw something about like, did you know you also have a moon sign? And I was like, what's a moon sign, like, what? And I looked mine up, and I have an Aquarius moon. And that sent me down the rabbit hole of just learning all about astrology from that point on. I learned it so that I can understand myself better, but really as well at that point in my life, I was learning astrology to understand the other people around me. Because as a, you know, awkward teenager who, you know, just wanted to understand people, I really loved that I was able to use it as scientific, as you say, like, kind of way to get people, you know, because this is information that doesn't change, you know, it's based on your birth time. So it's in a way, like, quote unquote, objective, right? But as I grew in my adulthood and, you know, grew to understand astrology a bit more and see the nuance to all of it, and as I've grown as a person, having astrology as a tool in my toolkit, I've come to learn how to use it in more of an intuitive way and how to uncover the layers and intuitive layers of the archetypes within astrology to better understand it on a level that I feel our reality is really moving toward, understanding these tools, even the tarot, even, you know, energy healing, all these different tools that we are bringing forward from, you know, our old paradigm into the new paradigm. You know, we are really the living examples of the harbingers of how these tools are going to evolve with us, you know, and we're not meant to leave them behind, but we also aren't meant to use them in the same ways as we were in the past, you know? So I wouldn't say astrology in the way I use it today is quite scientific, but of course you can still find books, you know, that designate certain signs to be like X, Y, and Z and other signs to be like A, B, and C, and everything is so delineated and segregated. I hope to be one of those astrological teachers and teachers in the new age really as a whole that helps bring it all together and make it more holistic and, you know, bring it back to the real roots of what the language is about. So,
well, that's what I really love.
That's pretty much
you share it, because it is, it does come across as very holistic and very inclusive. And to me, it was always, I always like followed astrology and, you know, had like kind of dabbled in it. I always say that like if tarot was my major, that would be like a minor, and I have a huge interest, but it was, a lot of it is intimidating to me. So that's, I love the way that you really break it down and that you share your work in astrology. And I think it does kind of add a level of healing and kind of connectedness in the circles that you've shared it that really, really elevate the vibe. And I love that.
Oh, thank you.
So I know that you also created your own deck, the Arcturus Speaks Oracle deck, which is so gorgeous. And I created my own tarot deck last year, like I have so much respect for anyone who went through that process, because I know how much of your like heart and soul and spirit goes into that. Can you tell us a little bit more about this deck and how it came to you and how you were inspired to kind of create that and put that out to the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I love your deck too. I just started playing with it a few days ago. And yeah, like having gone through this process, I 100% salute every indie creator out there who's putting out their own deck. It is not as easy as it may seem, folks. So yeah, Arcturus Speaks came to me after years of knowing that a deck wanted to come through me, but I had a lot of deconditioning and shadow work and release work to do, surrendering to do to the universe to actually birth what ended up being Arcturus Speaks. So it was about a year into my business, I think like 2016 or so, when I heard the inner call, outer call, I don't really know where it was from, you know, I just had this feeling in me like, I am gonna make a deck. So little Virgo me, you know, was like, here's the spreadsheet, here's all the cards, here's everything that it's gonna be. And I started to make it very structured. I started to, you know, plan it all out. And I also, you know, had this notion in my head that I wasn't talented enough to make the art on my own. I had a vision of what I wanted it to look like, and I knew I didn't have the skill to do that. So I started looking for artists to work with. And long story short, I went through, you know, two artists and loved those girls to death, but, you know, our lives didn't line up with the project, and, you know, things just weren't moving forward in a way that allowed the project to really be birthed in any shape or form. And I got discouraged at one point, you know, because I had this project in mind and it just kept evolving and it kept, you know, tugging at my heartstrings, being like, yes, I want to be a thing. But there was something in me at a point that had to release this idea of what I thought it was going to be out into the universe and just surrender, you know, okay, I don't know if I'll ever make a deck, but it is something I want to do, and maybe I'll work with somebody else, maybe I won't, maybe somehow I will, you know, be able to make the art for the deck. And lo and behold, in 2018 I started to create digital art, and I started to channel light language, which is in the Arcturus Speaks Oracle deck. I started to connect deeper with my own past, parallel, future lives. Started to connect deeper with aliens or ETs or interdimensionals, you know, my Sirian star family, my Pleiadian star family. I started to wrap in all of these different aspects of my spirituality in a way that ended up manifesting in the works of art that I happened to realize at a certain point were the cards for a deck. And then once I realized that, the names came channeled through to me, and then I had a deck of cards, and I, you know, went through the process of, you know, trying to find a printer that would work best with me and my budget and my life and the amount of space that I had to store the cards and all of that jazz.
Yeah.
The channeling of the guidebook was a whole process in and of itself, and suddenly, you know, I'm here left with the Arcturus Speaks Oracle deck, and it is nothing like I would have imagined, and it was a complete, you know, practice in surrender to the universe and to what wanted to come through to me, and understanding that while I had the ability at that point in my spiritual journey to channel through the truth that a deck wanted to come through to me, I had so much deconditioning to do when it came to how I was going to allow that to come through. Because immediately I took that knowing of, oh, a deck wants to come through me, and I channeled it into productivity and, you know, spreadsheets and structure and all these things that are amazing and are absolutely for some people, but they are not for me in the creative sense, in the sense of how this deck wanted to come through. So through the process of creating this deck, it's really been a challenge and a blessing to learn or really relearn and remember my intuitive way of creating, because for so long that is not how I functioned in the world. And even to this day, I think I even say it in the guidebook, like, yes, I take ownership of this deck, like I make the money off of the deck, clearly, like I put in the time and energy to create this thing, and when you buy it, I get that revenue. But it really does feel channeled, because I spent so much of my time actually, you know, making the art and the light language and the guidebook for this deck in an altered state. So that's the Arcturus Speaks Oracle deck. It's nothing like I would have envisioned years ago, but I am not the person I was years ago, and I probably won't be the same person come another 3 years. So
I love that. That's so beautiful. And I think that, like, I had very similar experience with my deck. I'm somebody who is, like, in my past corporate life, such a, like, planner type A personality, and you kind of just have to let it flow. And I learned so many lessons in creating a deck, and I think that the way that you described that was so beautifully stated. Like, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for asking. Yeah.
I love it. It's beautiful, and like just the you can like feel the energy behind it, and I think that it's such an interesting process. And anyone that feels called to create a deck, it's definitely going to be different than you think. But I always encourage it, because I think you learn so much in the process. I have a, you know, since your deck is Arcturian inspired, I have an astro based like kind of starseed question for you. So throughout August, I talked a lot about Lionsgate Portal on the podcast, and how it resonated with some people and not with others. And some listeners were writing in that they had this like really intense connection to Sirius, and other people were like, I'm not resonating with that at all. Like, is that good or bad? And what is your advice on connection to like one star system over others? Or do you feel like some are better than others? Or are these just different frequencies to tap into?
I love this question. And I want this to be a dialogue. So I'll go on and say what comes through me, but of course, jump in with your own opinions. Because when it comes to galactic stuff, like, I know how intimidating it can be, and how, you know, in a way it gets us, you know, into our very human egoic state of wanting to delineate, oh, am I doing the right thing by not connecting to Sirius, or is it good or bad? You know, we start to think in these black and white terms that I do or do not resonate with Sirius. What I would say is, for one, we must know, and I'm sure you mentioned this on the podcast before, that during the Lion's Gate, Sirius lines up with the pyramids of Giza. So it makes a direct earth to sky connection. And what I would say is that so many of us at this time have incarnated with karma and memories and lessons to heal, whatever term you want to use in that sense, from ancient Egypt, from Sirius, and from Atlantean time. So two of those, you know, frequencies having been here on Earth, on whatever dimensional plane you might believe it to have happened, and Sirius, of course, happening in the star system Sirius with the great central sun, Sirius A. And what I would say is, if you feel a resonance with Sirius and Sirius energy, and you really felt the Lionsgate portal, and even if you didn't, release the idea that this resonance is a permanent facet of your soul experience in this life, because we go through stages and waves in our life with what frequencies we resonate with. For instance, one might not always feel a resonance with Sirius, but suddenly they find themselves in a point in their life where the messages and soul lessons from lives lived on Sirius are coming through because of where they are in life at that time. So if you do feel a resonance with the Sirian frequency, with the blue ray, with all of this, you know, with Isis and the Ra family, you know, all of these beautiful deities and this beautiful frequency, amazing. Go with that. There's something for you to learn there. Tap into it in meditation. Ask for messages to come through in your dreams. I've been there. Trust me. But if you aren't, don't feel that you are lesser than. It's just either not here for you right now in this life or not yet in this life. You know, it doesn't mean that you're missing out on anything, because there's so many other star frequencies out there for you to tap into, some that we don't even have names for. And I believe you asked, you know, like, what does it mean, or what's my opinion on resonating strongly with one frequency or one star system over another? I'd say that you go with whatever floats your boat. Just don't fixate from an egoic sense, and don't, you know, call yourself, you know, Pleiadian, for instance, and say that that is who you are, because truly who you came here to be is human, right? So while you may be resonating with the Sirian frequency at this time, or the Pleiadian frequency at this time, or the Arcturian frequency at this time, and you want to add that into your, you know, set of labels that you call yourself and that you delineate yourself as, understand that that may change at some point. And the more you identify with these galactic frequencies, the harder it's going to be for you to open up to the future, you know, in our linear sense of time, you know, in a couple of years' time, perhaps you might start to connect to the Lyran frequency and the Vagan frequency. Maybe those frequencies want to come through, and guides from those systems want to come through and help you along your journey. But you'll have been so self-identified with being Sirian or identifying with the Sirian frequency that you'll miss those cues, perhaps. That's, you know, the struggle and the blessing of being human is, you know, self-identifying with labels, because we want to be able to understand people, right? We want to be able to say, well, I'm an astrologer because I understand astrology and I understand that language and I can talk about, you know, astrology in that way. And you're a tarot reader, so I know in some light, you know, what you're about because you call yourself a tarot reader. But does that mean that every tarot reader is going to be the same? Does that mean that every person who identifies with the Sirian frequency is going to be the same? No, but we have this collective understanding of what the label is. What I would say is that just be conscious of not overly identifying with one particular star system, because it may not always be the one star system that you know, identify with for the rest of your life. Perhaps you have up until this point, but maybe next week Cygnians are going to come through in your dream, but you'll misidentify them as Sirian because you're just used to, and you have this, you know, perception that all the guides that come through for you are Sirian, and you'll miss the Cygnus frequency. So
I love that. And
does that answer your question?
Yes. That was amazingly stated. I got a lot of questions on one of the podcasts this month that I have, like, readers or like DM questions come through. And I kind of, my feedback was the same, was that for me, it's kind of like whatever modality works for you and whatever, you know, whether that's religion, healing modalities, your connection to different star systems, it's that changes throughout your life. And it's also different for everyone. And it's not that one is good or superior and one is like dark or less than. It's kind of like, if you're finding connection and healing, explore it, you know? So that was definitely kind of how I felt about it too. Cause I know that certain people, like you were saying, it is kind of that human egoic, I am this. So that means this star system is more advanced and Arcturians are the most advanced and Sirians can't be trusted. And like, it's so funny because it's like, whatever information is healing or expansive for you is right for you in that time. In my opinion, that's been my experience for myself, you know?
Precisely.
Yeah. So I love your answer for that.
And, you know, going back to this idea of like certain frequencies or certain star beings being good or bad. You know how much flack the Anunnaki have gotten because of Zechariah Sitchin? And yet the Anunnaki supposedly derive from the planet Nibiru, which orbits Sirius B. So the Anunnaki are Sirians.
Right.
This, you know, race of ETs that supposedly way back when enslaved humanity and all that jazz, mined gold or whatever, you know, just stating the facts that Zachariah Sitchin, you know, put forth in his studies, not saying I self-identify with it, but that's just what some people believe.
Right.
People are forgetting that, you know, that frequency is technically Sirian. So where are we drawing the line here? Are we just, you know, taking in, you know, what we believe to be the good qualities of a frequency without perhaps, you know, recognizing that there's good and bad in every single thing out there? And, you know, would that mean then that we have to reckon with the good and bad within us and all the gray area in between? I think that's really what we're here to do at this point in our human evolution is, you know, take on the, I don't want to say guilt or burden or anything, because it's not. It's a part of the human experience to unpack at this point all of these different modalities that we've been using for thousands of years and see what works, what doesn't, what are limiting beliefs, and what are beliefs that are going to help us expand, and in what ways can we actually start to desegregate and integrate the quote good and the quote bad, the light and the shadow of every single frequency.
Absolutely.
I know plenty of people who self-identify as, you know, Anunnaki, and they know in their truth that there's so much more to the Anunnaki frequency than what Zachariah Sitchin put forth. And if that's a little advanced for some, you know, listeners out there, I really recommend looking into that. You know, if it's hitting home for you in some way, if you're like, oh, what is this? What is this evil aliens coming to Earth enslaving people story all about? Whatever hits home for you and hits a little trigger button in your soul, like, research that on your own. That is the one thing that I will always suggest to people is don't just listen to what Beck says on the podcast or what Sasha says on a podcast or what anyone else says out there on the interwebs. Do your own research and amalgamate what everyone says and then tap into what your own truth is. Because that's what people who I know who self-identify as being an Anunnaki soul have done. You know, they don't self-identify as being a slaver, but they do self-identify as being someone, a soul of that frequency, because they've tapped into the truth of that frequency and that, you know, there's good and bad and everything in between with every single modality.
Absolutely. That's exactly, I mean, you said it much more eloquently than I did last week, but that's exactly kind of what my advice was to people that were, you know, trying to either force themselves to fit into one system or thinking that, you know, one was the right path versus another. I'm like, that's like saying Christianity is right and Judaism is less than, or Judaism is superior to Buddhism. Like, they all have amazing, you know, healing and truths within them. And they also have been, you know, distorted and misused at times in history. So it's kind of taking your own, like, what is healing to you, the information you're receiving. And if you feel inspired, like you said, diving deeper and learning what you can really get out of that for your highest good.
Love that.
But so I have also before, because I'm like, want to make sure I get everything. I have a million questions for you in this like brief half hour segment. Before we like get back to tarot, I wanted to ask you, since we're heading into Virgo season, you are a Virgo and you are my favorite astrologist to kind of give us a little bit of astro advice moving forward into the season. Do you have any kind of just tips or overview advice for the collective?
Yeah. So with Virgo season, Virgo is a mutable sign. So wherever you are in the world, when we're in Virgo season, it is a time of transition. We're moving toward an equinox, right? So we're moving into a cardinal season, which will be Libra at the end of September. But Virgo season acts as a mutable, adaptable, transitory sign and energy moving into fall here in the Northern Hemisphere, right? So we're moving into this cooler period of time away from the heat of summer and all the craziness of the past 3 or 4 months, astrologically and energetically. And when I tap into this question, you know, And having tried to tap into some of the specific energetics of Virgo season, you know, because clients will ask me like what's coming up with, you know, my astrology in the coming few months. And of course I give them their specific answers based on their chart, but collectively it's still feeling hazy. And I think that's precisely the point. I think there is precisely some bit of lesson we need to tap into from the past few months as we move into the fall of, you know, learning to trust in the universe, you know, learning to trust that things are going to be calmer as we move into this, you know, third of the year, like last third of the year. However, I have actually tapped into one specific day. Like, I kid you not, Bex, I just clicked on a random day in September in Virgo season because I was like, yeah, what's the astrology going to be like? And on September 3rd, the first day that I clicked, we're going to have a triple conjunction of planets in Virgo. The sun in Virgo at 10 degrees is going to be right on top of Mercury in Virgo at 10 degrees, and Mercury rules Virgo. So they have a very, you know, innate relationship there. But Mars, the planet of action in the divine masculine, is also going to be at 10 degrees of Virgo. So numerologically, we can think of the number 10 as a number of completion, a number, you know, in numerology that represents like the closing of a whole. And when it comes to this amalgamation of these three planets, it has a lot to do with the intensity of these past few months, you know, all throughout the summer, basically, of how much soul evolution we've gone through. I think come September 3rd, we really want to work our magic and work with this day, this, you know, 10 day, to find peace and balance in the divine masculine within us all, you know, however you identify it, you know, with your gender and sexuality. We all have an inner divine masculine. We all have a collective Mars energy. And with Mars in Virgo, it's quite a good placement for Mars to be in because Mars loves to have structure and order and a, you know, rail to, you know, like a train wants to be on rails, and Mars is the train, Virgo is the rails, so it has a place to go. And Mercury, in a way, is the schedule that it's going to keep. It's going to, you know, keep our own egoic needs in line with what our soul really wants us to do. And with the sun there, it's just going to bring even more of a how do I say, collective understanding as to how important it is for us at the beginning of September to come back into alignment with who we really came here to be. And as well, you know, Mercury being the logical mind and Mars, of course, being the divine masculine, there's going to be a lot of divine masculine healing do, you know, being done in Virgo season, and particularly around this day, September 3rd. You know, we have a lot of toxic masculinity, obviously, in the patriarchy that we live in. And during Virgo season, Virgo being the one sign really that is represented or represented by one of the divine feminine, it's a beautiful time for this amalgamation of planets to be happening because it's sort of bringing balance to the divine feminine and the divine masculine. Masculine, any aspects of ourselves and over the past few months that have perhaps have been acting out from a place of internalized patriarchy or internalized toxic masculinity, we're going to be able to face them in a logical manner and actually with Mars on our side, do certain things in our life that are going to remedy any of the old patterns that we've been acting on for the past few months that perhaps, you know, at this point you're aware of on an emotional level or on the spiritual level, but have you actually had the capacity to act on the things you know you need to do in your life in order to change your behavior? Perhaps not. Perhaps it has, you know, really sunk down into the deepest core of yourself, you know, and you realize that you need to do a lot of soul healing that you're doing at this moment, still in Leo season. But come Virgo season, Virgo is the sign of the healer, the sign of, you know, Mother Teresa was a Virgo, right? Like, just like inner sense of owning your healing and owning your healing journey, and really grounding back down to earth, and yet still connected to the mind and still connected to the logical vein of you know, knowing that our minds dictate our emotions, which dictate our behavior for many of us. So come early September, on September 3rd, we're going to have this beautiful amalgamation. And I think it's a beautiful conjunction of planets that we can work toward, you know, as I said, work our witchy magic with, to just find more clarity and how we're going to actually enact the changes we know we need to make to become the people that we want to be. You know, this whole idea that Virgo is the perfectionist and Virgo, you know, is so detail oriented and a bit neurotic and all those different aspects of the archetype that are, you know, cast in shadow, actually can be cast in light and, you know, seen instead as, you know, us wanting to be the best versions of ourselves as we can be, because, you know, despite perhaps on some spiritual level being able to, you know, understand our past lives or parallel incarnations or whatever you want to call it, we still only have the one life that we're living in this body, right? We still only have the one time to make this life the best life that it can be. So that is what Virgo is about. And that is why this conjunction is so poignant to me, because it's a beautiful amalgamation of planets that in an archetype that calls us to be our best people in this life, not in any other lives, and not worry about healing karma from other lives, but worrying about how we can make today the best day that it can be.
I'm so excited for that, because it's funny. I'm have a whole lot of fire in my chart. I am Sagittarius, Aries rising with a lot in Sag. So sometimes I'm like, woohoo, fire season. I always get so excited for Leo. And then I'm like, Leo's over. It's like the end of like a holiday season for me. So that honestly is something to look forward to. And I know, like, me personally, a lot of clients have had such a tumultuous summer in a lot of ways, and a lot of things coming back from the past, and definitely seeing it from a higher perspective of being for healing and being mirrors, you know, for us to evolve and learn through. But I think that you reiterating that it's really about getting back to our work, ourselves, and our healing in this lifetime, I'm excited for that. I feel like I've been a little bit removed from that personally, and I am like, woohoo to Virgo season if that is the case. So thank you. That's something to definitely look forward to.
I'm looking forward to it too, girl.
All right.
Us astrologers are not removed from any of the cosmic energy that occurs.
Oh my God. I love it. I literally could ask you a million more questions about both like star systems, you know, from a extraterrestrial standpoint, and as well as like just astrology within like Virgo season and specific elements in that. But we're at the end of the half hour, so I'm definitely gonna have to have you back, because there's so much I want to discuss with you. But because I ask everyone this, I'm gonna ask you to close off the segment. Do you have a favorite tarot card in the deck? And if you do, why?
Yeah, I'd have to say my favorite card is the Star. And why? Twofold. Really, one, it's connected to Aquarius, and I love my Aquarius moon and the archetype of Aquarius. We're moving into the age of Aquarius. But two, I love how the Star really just feels like a drink, a big gulp of like cold water on a summer's day. Like, it's just such a respite after some bullshit, right? Like, it's just like a beautiful pause. And like, who doesn't love like a pause? Or like when you walk into a mall and there's AC and you were just coming from like the most humid like summer day outside.
That is perfect. Oh my, it's crazy, because I pre-record the intro to this podcast, and I pull monthly cards at the beginning of every month, and then I do a card of the week, and the Star was the card of this week. I'm not even, you'll hear it when the podcast airs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was saying that it's kind of like after, you know, comes after the Tower, which is often after a period of upheaval, and you know, even if it's serving you, it's still like you've survived this thing. And it's like, yeah, being in 95 degree weather and then walking into air conditioning. I love that analogy. And I also think that, you know, it's such an intuitive card, and that it's funny that you picked that, because you definitely have that like intuitive connection to cosmic consciousness, to, you know, other galaxies, and being able to receive information. And it's almost like you have to go through that period and have that little rest and reset to be at your highest self, to receive that for yourself and for the collective.
Yep, I feel that.
Do you have a least favorite card in the deck?
I do. I mean, everyone has the ones that they're just like, really? Like when they pull that, they just get a little chip on their shoulder. But the one that I think like most people wouldn't have a problem with that I tend to is the Seven of Pentacles. I get confused with the Seven of Pentacles sometimes, and I'm just like,
Yes,
do I
right.
wait or like, do I pick my fruit? Like I'm kind of a ham when it comes to life in some sense. Like I will usually just like take stuff out of the oven before it's ready, so to speak.
Me too. Yes.
But yeah, it definitely the Seven of Pentacles. I feel like most people don't have an issue with it, but I'm usually annoyed by it.
Yeah, you know what's so funny is it's not a card that I have like to me the devil is like my trigger. I'm like, oh God. But like the Seven of Pentacles, I feel the same way of it's confusing because in some ways it's like ruled by the Chariot. There's like success elements, but there's also a lot of impatience. I struggle with impatience. So I actually it's funny, you're the first person to answer Seven of Pentacles, but I totally get that, 1,000%. I get that. So I'm going to in the notes of this podcast, I'm going to post back to your Instagram and your website, your Oracle deck. Is there anything else coming up that we should know about or that you want to let people in on before we close out?
I would just say that I'm on a hiatus at the moment with taking new clients. But if I open that back up in the fall, it'll probably be at the end of September. And I am also working on developing a library of learning resources. So if you want to learn anything about how I teach astrology, teach about cosmic consciousness, I'm also a human design reader. So I'll be making learning resources about that. Make sure you're following me on Instagram, and you can also sign up for my newsletter, hoping to get that out more often come the fall, definitely with any new updates concerning my business.
Oh my gosh, amazing. I will, yeah, like I said, I'm going to link back to all of that in the notes to this podcast. And I will also be posting on my Instagram to share that. Thank you so much, Sasha. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. And now I'm far more excited about Virgo season than I was previously. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
How amazing is Sasha? I also love that she picked the star card and that happens to be our card of the week, and neither one of us knew that. So that's amazing. Also, if you don't already, definitely follow her on Starbound Earthseed on Instagram. And if you're in the New York area, I highly encourage you checking out Sasha and Kara Kovacs' Moon Crew Circles, which are every full moon. And you can find that information on her Instagram and her site as well. So before we head out, just want to quickly recap. August is moving through into Virgo season, coming from Leo, still moving hot with the Strength card for the month, reminding us to channel that confident inner Leo in order to gently attract what we're manifesting to come to us. And we also have the reappearance of the Chariot, which is again a victorious card as well, just kind of in a different way in that it brings in something we desire but can be a little bit more aggressive. So that combo together really helps us balance the desire to chase with the ability to magnetize. And this week brings us the Star card, which is that, as we discussed, that card of kind of a breath of like fresh air, a little relaxation after coming through a hard period, but also a card of tapping into your intuition, a card of, trusting that divine timing is working for you, that the universe is working for you. And even if you may have come through a challenging period the past couple weeks, even the past couple months, the Star card is kind of that moment to stop, take a deep breath, and connect into your own intuition, your connection to cosmic consciousness. So, a couple announcements before we head out. Instagram Live, I have successfully moved this from Sunday nights to Monday nights at 7:30 Eastern Time in order to just maintain more consistency and hopefully get as many of your readings in as possible. If you haven't tuned into Instagram Live, I do the weekly overview as well as take live mini readings from you. You can also DM me if you're unable to attend but can watch it for the next 24 hours. If you really have a question that you want an answer to but you're not going to be able to attend the live, feel free to DM me or write me at badassbitchestarot.com. Also, my partner, Stephanie Wallace, and I are so excited for our first ever retreat, City Witches Ritual. So for those of you who want to practice your magic in style this October, the weekend of the 25th to the 27th, we're having a luxury retreat in East Hampton. This includes amazing accommodations at a gorgeous house on a private beach in East Hampton, yoga, breathwork, Reiki sessions, tarot readings, cacao ceremonies, magical AF gift bags valued at over $200. We also have delicious plant-based meals for all meals throughout the weekend, and it's all at a really affordable price. Think Goop and Canyon Ranch vibes, but for the same price as retreats that are held in like bunk beds and tents. So it's an amazing deal. And if you book through this podcast, you get $100 off with the code CityWitchVIP. So hurry up because we already have slots booked. We have a few more open, but I would book this now, especially because this code is ending at the end of September. So $100 off with code CityWitchVIP, and you can get more information on the retreat at badasswitchestarot.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and as always, stay magical AF.